The Amazon guy bought the Washington Post. Now the Tesla guy wants Twitter. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We just got word that Tesla boss Elon Musk has offered to buy Twitter, the short message social media company Musk enjoys using as a megaphone. The Financial Times is valuing the deal at more than $43 billion. It was revealed the other day that Musk was already Twitter's largest shareholder. This would mean Musk would go from electric car and space tycoon to social media tycoon. Twitter stock is up, 12% in pre-market trading now. Later this morning, we'll get a read on business inventories for February. Many businesses have been building up their inventories when they can to make sure the congested supply chain doesn't leave them empty-handed. Marketplace's Justin Ho checked in with some small business owners to see how that's been going.
Early in the pandemic, Brandilyn Green figured she'd have problems sourcing the packaging she needs for her hair products company called Voice of Hair.
The caps, the spray tops, any like lids to jars.
So Green ordered a lot more packaging than she needed. She's also adapted the style of packaging she uses to what's available, like using plain white caps that are easier to get instead of fancier gold ones that are harder to find.
Customers, like, they just want the products when they want them. So whether you have a gold top or a white top, as long as the product is good, then they're happy.
Thing is, many businesses don't have much control over what they can stock up on. Chris Duong manages Hawaii Supermarket near Los Angeles. He says he's been buying up whatever's available at the time.
We know by now that any inventory that comes in is temporary, so whatever we can overstock on, we try to.
He says the store's been promoting those products to shift demand away from other products that are in short supply. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. Dow futures are up 0.2%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are both down less than 0.1%. Oil's down 1.2% this morning, 103 a barrel. We watch one documentary film a month for Econ Extra Credit, we call it. This month, it's called Operation Varsity Blues, about the college admissions scandal from 2019, where the feds caught parents working with a consultant to cheat their kids into prestigious colleges.
We're here today to announce charges in the largest college admissions scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice.
My view of the admissions process is some students getting in on pure merit, but many others getting in due to preferences that skew rich and white.
I mean, really cheat, like doctoring photos to make it look like a student plays water polo when he didn't, to get into a college that valued polo players. All in the name not necessarily of education, but also for the prestige of certain campuses. I talked to New York Times columnist Ron Lieber about this. He's author of the book The Price You Pay for College, who warns about the single-minded quest for the fanciest brand schools. But welcome back to the program, Ron.
Thank you for having me.
All right. It is super irritating to watch how some parents cheated to get their kids in. But this isn't the big way that money influences who gets into higher ed?
No, not at all. There are at least three ways, right? If you're at the tippy top of the 1%, you can, in fact, buy your way in many instances by, you know, giving $10 million for a building. If you've got kids who are athletic and you have more money than average, you can pour money over 15 years into travel teams, getting them good enough to give them an admissions edge. And then if you don't need financial aid, at most schools, including, you know, most private colleges and universities, you'll get an admissions edge somewhere in the process if you don't need financial aid. So cheating, I don't know that that's necessary.
Now, you and others have pointed out that a person can get a fabulous education without going to the Mercedes-Benz or Ferrari of campuses. But is prestige worth nothing? Is it just like we should get over prestige?
We should not necessarily get over prestige. There's at least three reasons it might matter, and they all have to do with what other people think. So the first one is that, you know, prestige can yield a sort of gold star for parenting in the community. Maybe you're trying to impress people with an Instagram sweatshirt reveal or whatever stickers on your windshield. This is a natural human instinct for parents, but it's also one that's emotionally harmful a lot of the time, right? So try to take the magic pill that causes you to resist that one. But then there are the employers and the graduate schools that are inhabited by gatekeepers who may be snobs or elitists, right? Let's just face it. And to them, prestige may make a difference. And it isn't always easy to know ahead of time, particularly with a teenager who doesn't know what they want to do with their life, how much that may matter. But we shouldn't pretend that it doesn't matter at all.
All right. So it's possible that the prestige of the undergraduate place that you're looking at could help you then get into the graduate school that you need or the professional school.
Yeah, I mean, these are edge cases, sort of, because like how much should we really rely on a 17-year-old's convictions? But if you've got a daughter who is dead set on being an investment banker and she's into the Penn State Honors Program for, you know, $100,000 for 4 years, and she's into, you know, Wharton, a University of Pennsylvania undergrad for $300,000, I can guarantee you that Goldman Sachs is not hiring as many 22-year-olds from Penn State as they are from Wharton. Same thing's true with your son who wants to be an anthropology PhD student and has not wanted anything else for himself for years. The 15 or 20 best anthropology graduate school programs, they're probably going to bring more kids in from the quote-unquote most prestigious schools than they are from, you know, a random branch of a state school. It's just true. So we can only know so much about how our 17-year-olds are going to turn out or whether they're going to change their mind. But again, we can't assume that prestige means nothing. It will mean something in some places, sometimes.
All right. And a deep dive into how the system works can be found in Ron's book, The Price You Pay for College. Ron Lieber also writes the New York Times Your Money column. Ron, thank you.
My pleasure.
One documentary a month on marketplace topics. Follow along with our Econ Extra Credit newsletter. You can sign up if you haven't already. Marketplace.org/newsletters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.